الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه، صلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم وتفضل عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وإخوانه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، أحبتي في الله، I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for gathering us in here in this blessed house and also in this glorious gathering. It's the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we come together as brothers and as sisters in a house of Allah, listening, learning and observing the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening to Qala Allahu wa Qala Rasul. Tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala, for the limited time that I have, 40 minutes. The limited time that I have, let me share with you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, some of thoughts of the scholars, not my thoughts, some of the thoughts of the scholars on a specific hadith. A hadith that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi says in his kitab, Jami' al-Ulumi wal-Hikam, some of the scholars said, تَدَبَّرْتُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَأَدْهَشَنِي وَكِدْتُ أَطِيرُ أَوْ وَكِدْتُ أَطِيشُ. Ibn Rajab, he says that one of the scholars said, when I pondered upon this hadith, when I looked at this hadith closely and thought about it, its meanings, adhashani, this hadith bewildered me. This hadith mesmerized me and made me think deeply, to the extent that I thought I will lose my mind, to the extent that I thought I will lose my thinking because of how it was taking all of my thinking and all of my time. Rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in. Why? Because there was two things in their mind when they were listening to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One, pure faith, imanan sadiqan, a truthful faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in Allah and they believed in whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. If the Prophet said, period, that is it. No more ifs, no more buts, no more excuses, no more explanations. He said it, and it must be true. They had that in their mind. Secondly, the scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, and specifically this scholar who says this about this hadith, and some of the other scholars also, they had extensive knowledge of the deen. So when he hears a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, firstly, he believes in that statement, and secondly, he knows what that statement means. And because of that, the hadith will absorb them. The hadith will take their mind. It will occupy their mind. The hadith will busy them, right? So what is this hadith? And this hadith was narrated by Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh. It was authenticated by Tirmidhi in his Musnad and also Albani in his Sahih Tirmidhi, from Ibn Abbas, Abil Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك بشيء إلا قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليه رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. Ibn Abbas, he says, radiallahu anhu, I was riding with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here is a lesson for the parents. This is a lesson for the parents. That exactly as Abdullah ibn Abbas was riding with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet was not saying, what are you doing after me? Get out of my donkey or camel, whatever he was riding. He did not say that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Ibn Abbas, as a young boy, he was carrying him with him. He was taking Ibn Abbas and these young Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim with him, wherever he goes, teaching them and passing them knowledge and wisdom. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But unfortunately nowadays, you know, our fathers, when we tell them, Dad, can I go with you? You know, he will say, what are you doing after me? Stay home. Right? Subhanallah. Even me, when I go to my dad, who I rarely see him, and he goes somewhere and I tell him, okay, can we go together? He will say, what are you doing after me? I'm an old man, right? So this is something that we need to change, something that our parents must change. You need to have a very special relationship with your children. If you are a father, you need to take your son to the Fajr. And this is what the Salaf Radwanullahi alayhim will do. They will take their kids, they will take their children to the masajid. They will travel with them if they travel. If they go and visit some other relatives, some other families, they will go with them. And in the midst of these travelings and these journeys and these company and companionship, they will learn, they will mature. And there will be a bond between the father and his children. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says the same thing about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the Prophet alayhi salam, he was not taking Ibn Abbas for the sake of fun or for the sake of it. No, but he was teaching him radiallahu anhu ardah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ya ghulam. Ghulam means boy, young boy. He said, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I will teach you words, few words, that if you carry these words, they will sustain you in your life. These words will be a source of guidance. These words will be a light for you in your journey, in your life. So you must learn them and you must memorize them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, more or less, he said, okay, I'm ready for it. Let me hear the words. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, احفظِ الله يحفظك. Safeguard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will safeguard you. Subhanallah. In a very short and concise sentence, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu how to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells him, protect Allah, He will protect you. Of course, you cannot protect Allah. How can you protect Allah when you are in here, in a small masjid, in a small city called Roxbury, in a small state called Massachusetts, in a small country called USA, in a small planet called Earth, in a small galaxy, in a small world? How can you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He is above you? When He is more powerful than you and everything that surrounds you? How can you help Him? Of course we cannot. But what the Prophet alayhi salam here means is that we protect and guard the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take care of Allah's orders, Allah's deen, He will take care of you. احفظِ الله يحفظك. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah jalla wa ala says in a verse, فَمَنْ آمَنَ وَأَصْلَحَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And he says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. In another ayah he says, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In another verse he says, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. In all of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising us that if we safeguard His commandments, if we safeguard His orders, if we safeguard His religion, if we are always in the lookout of what He prohibited, if we stay away and we are conscious of what He said no to, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also protect us. He will guard us. He will shield us from all of difficulties. لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In this life, you will see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounding you everywhere you go, from right, from left. له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send angels. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi and some of the scholars, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends at least 10 or 12 or 15 or 20. Al-Ghazali in his Ihya, he says more than that, hundreds and hundreds of angels who are your bodyguards, who are protecting you in the day and in the night. But sometimes they will not protect you. If you forsake the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will just step aside, right? And, you know, difficulties will come to you. A cop will come from the right and he will give you a ticket. You will go and you will make a left turn and another guy will come and he will hit your car and you will have an accident. The angels will be stepping aside. They will not do anything. You will be walking and there will be a stone on the street, a rock, and you will trip over it and you will break a bone. They will not help you. They will not do anything for you. Why? Because you have not protected the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to this, safeguard Allah's commandment, he will safeguard you. He said, whoever prays Salatul Fajr, right, the morning prayer that we have forgotten, the morning prayer, Fajr, Salatul Fajr, that only few Muslims in the world, they go to the masjid and they pray. To the extent that one of my friends, he's an imam in one of the Gulf states. I do not want to mention it, his name. He said in this country, in this Gulf state, Gulf country, even the imams don't come to the Fajr. Even the imams, they, you know, they sleep and they enjoy their sleeping. They don't come. Only the muazzin, who is maybe from Bangladesh or Pakistan, will come. And few old people will come, and that is it. That's the whole jama'ah in the masjid. Subhana Malik al-Allam. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. In Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran that you recite in the Fajr is mashhuda, is witnessed by angels. Two shifts of angels, two groups of malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather at the masjid at the time of Fajr. And they listen to the Quran. And they witness who will pray in the masjid. And they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah asks them, "Uhuwa a'lamu minhum." And He knows more than them. But Allah Jalla wa Ala asks them and tells them, "How did you left my slaves?" After a long question and answers, after a long conversation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels, "What were my slaves asking me? What did they wanted?" Then the angels will say, "Yas'alunaka al-jannah." They are asking you Al-Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end He will say, "I have forgiven them and I will give them exactly what they asked." We are missing that. So in a hadith relating to Salatul Fajr, safeguarding Salatul Fajr, being very particular when it comes to Salatul Fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever prays Salatul Fajr in a jama'ah, in the masjid of course, whoever prays Salatul Fajr in a jama'ah, كَانَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ, that person will be in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person will be under the insurance of Allah Jalla wa Ala. You don't have to call American family insurance, right? No, you don't have to call them. You have the insurance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that day. But that day expires after the day ends. It's only one day insurance. You have to come for Fajr the next day to get covered the next day. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect if you go and pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Now, a lot of you have heard this hadith, right? One young Yemeni kid, a young boy, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years old, he heard this hadith that if you pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and Allah jalla wa ala will guard you from all evil. So he will always go to the masjid every day, Fajr, you know, and he will come back home, 7, 8 years old. Then one day he went to the masjid, a young boy who maybe, you know, woke up 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., waited 1 hour or maybe 30 minutes until Fajr time. He fell asleep in the masjid and he forgot to go to school. He's supposed to go to school. So he didn't wake up until 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., he came home, got ready, took his backpack, and he went to the school. When he entered the school in the classroom, he was late. His teacher told him, "Where were you?" He said, I fell asleep in the masjid. And the teacher was not very religious. He said, what were you doing in the masjid? He said, I went for Fajr and I fell asleep. The teacher did not like that answer. Well, and he started yelling at the kid, what were you doing in the masjid? Why will you go and pray in the masjid? Why don't you stay home? You are a kid. Why should you pray in the first place? He started beating him, right, with a stick. Of course, you know, those countries, the teachers, they have a big stick, a long one. So he started beating the kid, and the kid started screaming and saying, don't, because I am under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the teacher was even more furious, more angry. You know, now you're telling me you are under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he kept beating him up. But the kid, he believed in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from this teacher who is beating him up, right? That was what he believed. He took the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam literally, and he practiced it and he believed in it. So this is not a made up story. This is not a folk tale. This is a true story. The teacher, while he's beating the kid, he started having stomach problems. And he started throwing up immediately. And wallahi, after a few minutes, he was taken to the ER, to the emergency room. And he was hospitalized for days. There was nothing in him when he started beating the kid. But because he transgressed, he violated the insurance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He transgressed against someone who was in the protection of Allah jalla wa ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started harming him. So yes, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, احفظ الله يحفظك. Safeguard Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard you. Take care of Allah jalla wa ala when it comes to the salah, when it comes to the adhkar, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he says, whoever says in the morning and in the evening, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fil sama'i wa huwa al-sami'u al-alim. Whoever says that dua, I will not translate, it's your homework, it's your job to learn it, memorize it, and translate it for yourself. But the Prophet, he says alayhi salam, whoever says that dua, lam yadurrahu shay' hatta yumsi. وَإِنْ قَالَهُ فِي الْمَسَاءِ لَمْ يَضُرَّهُ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يُصْبِحْ. Whoever says that in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him until the evening. And nothing will harm him until the evening. Nothing. No cop will give you a ticket. No, you will not have a car accident. You will not fail in your class, in your exam. You will not get an F. Maybe you will get D or C. But that's your problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. لَمْ يَضُرَّهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing will harm you. But nowadays, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we have doubts in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have doubts in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And because we have doubts, because we have shak, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And there should be no doubt in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. But unfortunately, we have doubts. We have a lot of ifs. What if this is not true? What if this is only for the Sahaba, not for us? I mean, the one who wears imama, you know, and who goes to the masjid will say, maybe this hadith is only for the Sahaba and for the ulama. No, it's for everyone, young and old. Those who live in the 21st century and those who lived in the 6th century. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for everyone, and it is for every time and for every place. لذلك, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. You have to safeguard, you have to protect the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that pertain to your eyes, that pertain to your ears. These eyes are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who gave you. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. If Allah Jalla wa Ala takes your eyes away from you, and all the doctors, all the professionals in the world, the medical doctors who specialize in eye surgeries, they get together using the latest medical instruments and the most advanced surgery tools. Do you think they will give you eyes back? They cannot give you eyes. No, they can't. Ears, same thing. If the doctors, they do everything that they can, to make you hear things they will not be able to do so. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that for free. Right? Do you know how much it costs for someone to have a heart surgery here in this country? It costs about $200,000. Post-surgery medical appointments only cost $50,000 or $30,000 just to see the doctor after you already had the surgery. That will cost $30,000, $40,000. The surgery itself might cost about $100,000. That's a lot of money, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you from that surgery every day. And your heart is beating every day. So use your heart for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use your eyes, what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect your eyes, because He's the one who gave you in the first place. And He will calculate you in the day of judgment, and He will reckon you. He will ask you, what did you use your eyes with? That is what ihfadillaha yahfadka means. Beware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beware of the commandments of Allah jalla wa ala. Why? Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah jalla wa ala is watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything you say with your lips, everything you see with your eyes, everything you think about with your heart, everything you hear with your ears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So use what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you with that pleases Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, and he told Ibn Abbas, احفظ الله تجده تجاهد. Safeguard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you will find Him in the future. What we have talked about in the last few minutes was now, what Allah will do for you now, if you safeguard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this sentence, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Ibn Abbas, احفظ الله تجده تجاهد. Safeguard Allah now, you will find Him in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us the story of Yunus ibn Matta, Zinnun, Sahib al-Hut, that prophet whom was tested after he got mad with his people. He left without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the story of Yunus alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to something happened when Yunus was when he was inside the belly of the fish. Yunus alayhi salam made dua. But listen, his dua will not have been accepted. His dua will not have had any value to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was it not that he was making that same dua before he went to the test? Before he was in the belly, he was making that same dua. He was using that dua a long time ago. So that dua helped him, not when he made it in the belly of the fish. No, but it helped him years and years before that. Right? So safeguard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you will find Him in the future. The dua that you make now. In one of the narrations of this hadith is, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Know, come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beware of Allah jalla wa ala when you have pleasure, when you are entertaining yourself, when you are in peace and prosperity, when you have no problems, be aware of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Why? Because when you have problems, when you are in mess, when you are in sorrow and sadness, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will lift you from that. Referring to that, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Was it not that Yunus used to make that same dhikr and that same tasbih and that same dua before he was tested? لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He will have stayed in the belly of the fish until the day of judgment. So yes, the dua helps. And inshallah ta'ala we will talk about the benefits and the value of dua. But dua only will work when you do it constantly and continuously. When you do dua now, at the age of 15, at the age of 20, the age of 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your dua, will accept your dua, will honor your dua. Your dua will be, you will be able to cash your dua immediately at the age of 40, at the age of 50, and at the age of 60. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Now you are healthy. So safeguard your health. Use your health for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you get sick, Allah Jalla wa Ala will cure you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Yesterday we talked about the story of Abu Tayyib al-Tabari, that great scholar among the Salaf radwanullahi alayhim. Ibn Kathir narrates this in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. This Abu Tayyib al-Tabari, we alluded to his story yesterday, was more than 100 years old, and he was riding a boat, a ship, with some other Muslims. And when the ship was about to dock on the port, he did not wait until the ship fully stopped, but he started jumping from the ship before even the ship stopped. The other youngsters, and he is more than 100 years old. This guy is jumping like 20 years old, and he is more than 100 years old. The youth, the youngsters in the ship, in the boat, they wanted to do the same thing, but they could not do it. They were afraid. They didn't have the physical ability or the flexibility to do what this 100-year-old man did. So after the ship fully stopped and they got off through stairs or this and that, they said, "How did you do it? You are more than 100 years old and you are jumping like this." Then he said, what I told you yesterday, هَذِهِ جَوَارِحُ حَفِظْنَاهَا فِي الصِّغَرِ فَحَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْكِبَرِ. These are organs that we protected when we were young. We used our body for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we were young, not for the disobedience of Allah. We used our body to go to the masjid. We used our hands to hold the kitab. We used our eyes not to watch too much movie. Maybe one or two movies a month, but not too much movies. We used our legs to walk to the masjid. We used our mind to think about the Quran, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, now when we are old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting us. We know the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam also. How when he served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the times of ease and comfort, Allah Jalla wa Ala protected him in the times of difficulties. You remember his story when he was thrown into the fire. Imagine, a fire that is burning to the extent that some historians, they said that the birds were not able even to fly on top of this fire, because the fire was so huge. It was in a stadium, imagine that. And thousands of people were around this fire to see how Ibrahim will be punished and how he will burn. And Ibrahim was thrown. Some of the scholars, they said, Jibreel came to Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And Jibreel said, "Ibrahim, do you need some help? I can help you. I'll just pick you up and put you some other place." This is what the historians, they say. Allah knows if it is true or not. Then they said, Ibrahim said, "No, I don't need anything from you." Then the Malakul Riyah came, the angel of winds. He said, "Listen, I can turn off this fire and extinguish this fire in a second. Just tell me, I will help you." Then Ibrahim said, "No, I don't have any request from you. I don't need your help." Angels started coming one after the other. They all wanted to help Khalilullah, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befriended him. He used to be called Khalilur Rahman, the friend of Allah jalla wa ala, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim said, "No, I don't need anything from you. I need something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who I used to safeguard his commandments, I want him to help me now." And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked directly to the fire. Without sending any intermediary, without sending any angel and telling, "Oh angel, go to the fire and tell the fire not to burn Ibrahim." No. But in honor of Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the fire directly and said, "Ya naru, O fire, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim." Be cool, cold, not very cold, wa salaman, and also peaceful, ala Ibrahim, for Ibrahim. Do not burn Ibrahim. The historians, they said Ibrahim was in that fire for 40 days. Again, Allah knows, these are only stories. They said that he was in the fire for 40 days, eating and drinking in the fire. And people were watching him. They can see Ibrahim in the middle of the fire. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you. How He will help you and how He will protect you. But only if you protect His commandments. And only if you take care of Him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued the hadith. And he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ask anyone. Don't ask your father. Don't ask your mother. But ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And be like the Salaf Ridwanullahi alayhim, who, if they have a need from someone, they will first ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will come to that person and they will say, هَذِهِ حَاجَةٌ قَدْ عَرَضَنَاهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نَعْرِضُهَا عَلَيْكِ. This is a need that we already ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill it. So, you know, and now we are asking you, if you take care of it, it's Allah who took care of it. If you don't, then no problem. This is how they will ask what they want from other people. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek help, only seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a need, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ask anyone. Allah jalla wa ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, ادْعُونِي, beg me, ask me, request me. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and I will verily and definitely reply your calls, answer your requests. Grant you, I will grant you your needs. I will give you whatever you ask. But the requirement is that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The requirement is that you raise your hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, he says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ. يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَرْفَعَ إِلَيْهِ عَبْدُهُ يَدَيْهِ أَنْ يَرُدَّهُمَا صِفْرًا. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hayy. Allah is shy. And these are some of the sifat that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attributed to Allah jalla wa ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shies away from rejecting your call when you raise your hands to Him and you say, Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not return your hands empty, no. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put something in your hands. He will answer your call. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ الْعِبَادَةِ. The best worship that we can do, that anyone can do, is to make dua. Is to make dua. And if you look very carefully to the descriptions of the Ansar and the description of the Muhajireen and our description, those who came after the Ansar and the Muhajireen, you will see that the best description that we have, those who are called Al-Khalaf, those who came after the Ansar and the Muhajireen, in later generations and centuries, the best description that we have, the best quality in us, is that we make dua. Allah Jalla wa Ala, when He talked about the Muhajireen, He said, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of their accomplishments, of their success, what they have done in this world. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about Ansar and how they sacrificed everything they had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talked about their accomplishments and their successes in this world. But when Allah jalla wa ala started describing us, did he mention any success for us? No. But He said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ. Those who came after the Ansar and the Muhajireen, يَقُولُونَ, they say, رَبَّنَا. So the only thing that we have, the best description that we can get, the best level that we can reach, is that we make dua. And because of that, some of the scholars, they said, وَاللَّهِ أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَيِّ الدُّعَى. The best deed that I love so much is not reading Quran, is not praying, is not giving sadaqah, is not making hajj or anything. It is making dua. Because making dua gives couple things. Says a couple things about you. Firstly, it says that you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You trust that Allah jalla wa ala will give you what you are asking. Otherwise, why will you ask? Will I go to this wall and ask this wall to give me a Volvo 2010? No. This wall is dead. This wall cannot give me anything. Right? Will I come to a brother who makes $20,000 a year and ask him for a 2010 Volvo? No, he himself cannot afford it. But when you trust someone and you trust that they can give you what you are asking, you will ask that person again and again and again, exactly like the child. When he goes with his father to the candy shop, to the candy store, what does he ask his father? He asks his father to give him candy because he knows that his father has money. There is candy in the store. They are right there in the store. It's easy. So making dua constantly, again and again, shows firstly that you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, it shows that you believe in Allah jalla wa ala. It shows that you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you. لذلك, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ibn Abbas, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, ask only Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you seek help, only seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, giving these valuable lessons, these barrels of wisdom to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And be it very clear to you, let it be known to you, learn, understand, digest, that nothing can happen to you without the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if everyone in the world gathers and they bring all of their tools, all of their weapons, all of their military might, all of their money, all of their army and soldiers, and they want to harm you, they cannot harm you. They cannot do anything to you. Yes. And if they come together the same way, if they come together and they want to help you, they cannot help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to harm you, then no one can help you. If Allah is after you, you think that anyone can help you? No, you are done. If Allah is coming after you, you are done. There is nowhere for you to run. Who will help you? And if Allah subhanahu, same way, if Allah jalla wa ala wants to help you, then no one can harm you. You know the story in the Sahihain that Jabir radiallahu anhu narrated. He said that one day we were traveling, and we came back from that travel, from that journey, from that expedition. After we came back, everyone was so tired, and we started resting under trees. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we left him a big tree so he can take his rest and sleep. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, while we are sleeping, we heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling us and telling us, come, come, come. So we came, and we saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having a sword without it his cover, a drawn sword, and there was a Bedouin who was sitting down under him, and we didn't know what was going on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this Bedouin came to me while I was sleeping, and he took my sword, draw it, and he woke me up, and he said, "Man yamna'uka minni?" Who will protect you from me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is laying down. He don't have any protection. His sword is in the hand of this Bedouin who wants to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He did not turn right or left. He didn't say, "Where is Jabir? Where is Umar and Abu Bakr? Come and get me. This guy is about to kill me." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Allah." When the Bedouin said, "Who will protect you from me?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah." He didn't say anything else. He said, "Allah." The scholars, they said, immediately when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah, the sword fell off from the hand of the Bedouin, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed it immediately, and he stood up, and he wanted to strike the Bedouin, but he asked him the same question. He said, "Man yamna'uka minni?" Now, who will protect you? The Bedouin, does he know how to say Allah? No. He said, "Forgive me." He started begging the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Okay, will you be a Muslim?" The Bedouin was very smart. He understood that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave him, that he will forgive him again. So he said, "No, I will not believe in you." Immediately after he saw the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the Prophet was a forgiving man. This man was about to kill him. And now when he got the chance to revenge from him, he didn't. So he said, no, I will not be a Muslim. But, he said, but I will promise you, he said, I will promise you that I will never fight with an army against you. I will never offend you. I will never wage a war against you. The, some of the historians, as Tabarani narrates in his Mu'jam al-Kabir, they say that the man went back to his family and he said, listen, my family, I came from a man who is the best of all men. You must believe in him. He himself did not become a Muslim yet, but later on he became a Muslim and he himself started narrating this story. This is a lesson for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you even if all the odds are against you. Remember the hijrah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates that to us and he says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ. More than 100 men, strong men, soldiers, are looking for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is 50 years old, who is getting old, with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is 48 years old, who is also getting old and tired of working for 13 years. And they are running from these young, strong men, army, soldiers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And he protected also Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So yes, if 100 men are coming after you, and you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, and you will see the nusrah and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a place in which you will not expect. From a place in which you will not expect. Because of that, my dear respected brothers and sisters, as this hadith tells us, we have to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not depend on people. Do not depend on your ability or on your power. Do not depend on your wealth or on your health. Do not depend on your muscles or on your knowledge. But depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust Him. You will find His help now. And you will find His help later on. And we see this in the history so many times. Musa alayhi salam, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that when Musa alayhi salam went out in the great exodus, when Bani Israel and Musa started leaving Egypt, Fir'aun came after them. And the army of Fir'aun were more than 100,000. Musa alayhi salam was with a small group. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa. But the bewildering is how Allah protected Musa alayhi salam. When a government, a whole civilization, a whole country was looking for Musa alayhi salam and the few. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَشِرْذِبَةٌ قَلِيلٌ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they were a very small group. And a government, a civilization, a whole dynasty, Fir'aun and his army were looking and going after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. Allah jalla wa ala talks about that in Surah Al-Shu'ara and in so many verses. Musa came to the sea. And Fir'aun came right after them. And in the morning, the people of Bani Israel, they found themselves between two fires. One side there is the sea. They cannot go to the sea and kill themselves. And they have no boats. They have nothing. No way to swim. Nothing. And here is Fir'aun, who is so furious and so angry. And he wants to kill Musa alayhi salam and all of the Bani Israel. So they didn't know what to do. Because they didn't have a strong belief. They said, "Inna lamudrakun." They said, "We are done. We are messed up. That's it. We will die." Right? And they started crying. But Musa alayhi salam, with the strong belief of a believer, with the strong reliance of someone who relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with tawakkul and iman and yaqeen, and trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, "Kalla, no, never." Because he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him that he will be helped, and that he will be saved, and that Fir'aun will be destroyed, and his government and his civilization will be ruined. He knew that. So he said, "Kalla, inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen." Allah is with me, and Allah will help me. And you know, and you remember what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly helped him, but in a miraculous way. In a way that no one was ever helped. A miracle happened in that day that never happened again. And never happened before that in the history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, "An idrib bi'asaka al-bahra." Take your stick and beat your stick with on the sea, on the ocean. He took his staff, alayhi salam, and he started beating it on the face of the sea. But the sea started having 12 different roads, 12 different highways, if you may say. And Bani Israel started going on these roads. And they started running from Fir'aun. Fir'aun could not believe it. He said, "What's going on? Now they are walking in the middle of the water. If they can do it, we can do it. Let's go." So they started running after Musa alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him in that way. So yes, when you are in between two fires, when you have nowhere to go, look up and say, "Ya Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you." When all hopes are exhausted, all avenues are closed, when you have no exit, nowhere to go, then say, "Ya Allah," raise your hands. And remember this hadith. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones who sees you, the ones who knows you, and the one who can help you. And you will definitely find him in front of you, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. I will end it there. وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. جزاك الله خير شيخ عبد الكريم. معلم ساقيك منذ جديد. ونحن نقول لك دورا إن شاء الله تعالى برنامج خصوص بس سعيد الشباب سكان ورد مصرية. إن شاء الله تعالى ونحن نقول لك يضادي كدي من واحد نقول لك دورا. رامشيري طاقم في كتب في الوقت الثمانية وهاي يوم يطلع. إن شاء الله هذا كتير. جزاك الله خيرا عبد الكريم. نشكركم. شعب كريم الله سبحانه وتعالى خير السيوم سيد ابن حسن هذا الموسى الجليل يسفر كتير من نصر كري نهانتنا على سقة الوستر بحين هو قال سأخوري من يوحك بدن وما نوربا أن يعني لما ما أنا وسكت وقيمي أردت أن أيضا درت في كلمة نوري هذا حمد الله يا عبد الله إنجليش كو هذا الشعب